Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 8 lines from the top of Daf Lamed. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have in the margin a nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows: Ad heichon chayav odom lelamed es benoi Torah. How far does it go that a father must teach his son Torah? We have already established that a father's obligation is to teach his son Torah. How far does that obligation go? Aleph, bedoros, in terms of generations, father, son, father, grandfather, grandson, etc. And number and beis, betochen, in terms of content, Torah content. Now the Gemara. Ad heichon chayev odom lilameid es beno Torah. How far does the obligation go? Omar of Yudam Shmuel, kegoin zvulun ben don. Let's take the example of Zvulun ben Don. Rashi says he was a Talmud Shoya b'Mehem, was a known student in their time. And what about Zvulun ben Don? Shilimdo Avi Aviv. He was taught by his grandfather, Mikra u'Mishna v'Talmud Halochas v'Agados. He was taught the scriptures. The Mikra is the written Torah. And when we say Mikra, the reference is to the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Mishnah, as we are familiar with the Mishnayos, Talmud, the expansion of the Mishnayos in terms of the what we would call the Gemara, Halachas, is the teachings that are an oral tradition, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, as referred to in other places, and Agados, the Agadic area of Torah study. So in this answer, we see an answer to 2 points. We see, and that's why in our markings, you notice we have Roman numerals 1 and 2 in the Gemara text. Avi Aviv means even a grandfather is obligated to the toward the Torah education of his grandson. And content-wise, you see 5 different areas of Torah study. Meisvei, the Gemara raises an objection. Limdoi mikro ein malamdo mishnah. V'yomar rova mikro zu Torah. The Tanaic source says, once the father teaches his son Mikra, and Rava qualifies the word Mikra, meaning Torah. Torah, meaning the 5 books of Moses, not the prophets and later and writings, not the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So this Tanaic source, along with Rava's interpretation, is quite against that which Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel taught us, certainly in terms of content. So why was Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel citing Zvulun ben Don as a precedent, as a model? So the Gemara answers as follows: Kizvulun ben Don, velo Kizvulun ben Don. In certain aspects, we will model our Torah obligation according to the way Zvulun ben Don was taught, and in some aspects, no. Kizvulun ben Don shilimdo avi aviv. The involvement of the grandfather in terms of Torah study of his grandson, that is to be derived, the learned from the Zvulun ben Don precedent. The Lok is Zvulun ben Don. However, we depart from the Zvulun ben Don precedent. Dilu Hasam, Mikra Mishnah Talmud Halachas Vagados. There he had 5 areas of Torah study that the grandfather taught his grandson. Dilu Hacha. However, and here with regard to the Tanaic source, and we'll say what the Gemara expects, Mikra Levat, just Mikra, so that a grandfather is obligated to see to it that his grandson is Torah educated, but only as far as Mikra. And if you accept Rava's interpretation before, that would mean the 5 books of Moses, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The Gemara asks, V'avi aviv mi mechayev? Up till now, we're accepting as precedent the idea of or the style of Zvulun Ben Don, where grandfather was involved. Is that really so? V'ha Tanya. And now we have a Tanaic source. There is a diamond that you'll see in the Tanaic source. This introduces certain ideas of the Gemara that we note on the side under the Mivneh heading, Kol HaMalamed. Anyone who teaches will see, number one, Beno, and then later, Ben Beno. So the source says, V'limadetem oisom es b'neichem. That's the pasuk that most of you are probably very familiar with. It's said several times during the day as part of the Kriya Shema. And it says, you shall teach your children Torah. V'lo b'nei b'neichem. B'neichem means your immediate children, your second generation, but not third generation. Well, then what do I do with the pasuk that says, V'odatem livonecho livnei vonecho? The pasuk there indicates that you inform your children and your grandchildren, which would seem to say that grandchildren are also part of the obligation of a grandfather. So we say, Lo Marloch, that pasuk tells me, Shekol HaMalamed is Beno Torah. We've dashed on the line Beno, because that's the point of emphasis in this Tanaic source. Anyone who teaches his own son, not grandson, his own son Torah, Malol Abakisiv, the Torah, the scriptures, consider it Ki'ilu Limdoi Loi Ulevnoi Uleven Beno Ad Sof Kol Hadoros. It's you get credit. You're considered, you're valued as if you have taught all the future generations that come forth from your son. But as far as the source is concerned, it's sufficient. It's your obligation of Torah education extends simply to your son and not more. So this would be a problem for Shmuel, who said that grandfather is obligated. The Gemara responds, Hu de Omar ki hai tana. Shmuel, who said grandfather is included in the Torah obligation, Torah education of his grandson, bases himself on the following alternative Tanaic source, Tesanya, V'limadetem oisom es b'neichem. That is the same pasuk the previous source opened with, Ein li elo b'neichem. B'nei b'neichem inayin. From the pasuk that we cited, I would only see second generation. What about third generation? Talmud lomar v'odatem l'vonecho l'vnei vonecho. So the third generation is included in the grandfather Torah education obligation. Im kein ma talmud lomar b'neichem. If the obligation extends several generations, second and third generation, why does the opening pasuk indicate just second generation? So the word b'neichem there is not to the exclusion of an additional generation, but it's a gender exclusion. B'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. The obligation is to teach your sons, not your daughters. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol hamalamed es ben beno Torah, malo v'kosov kilu kiblo mehar Sinai. He who instructs his grandson Torah, it's considered like you received the Torah from Mount Sinai. Shenemar v'odatam livonecho ulivnei vonecho v'somich lei, and following those words it says yoim asher omadato lifnei Hashem elokecho b'chorev. Chorev is another term, another name for Sinai, for Har Sinai. So it's from the juxtaposition of the verses, you see that teaching grandchildren is considered as if you were there at Mount Sinai to receive the Torah. The idea behind this could very well be that Mount Sinai represents the beginning of the chain of Torah transmission. We call the Mesorah, and you as a grandfather who are participating in the transmission of the Torah not only to your son but to your grandson as well, you are demonstrating the idea of the Mesorah, the continuation of the chain. And a chain is generally thought of to be of, we'll say, three links would constitute a, we'll say, a basic chain. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Ashkechei, the Rabbi Shuvin Levi, Rabbi Chiya met Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Shodi Disno Areshe, the Komamti Le Linuka Lebe Kenishta. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had thrown on his head some type of makeshift head covering, namely something that's not fit for a man of his stature, and he ran out to take his child, or the child, the Yanuka is a child, to the Beit Knesset, to the synagogue, which was the place that children were Torah educated. Omar Le Mai Kule Hai. So Reb Chiya asked Reb Shmuel Levi, what's the rush? In other words, you ran out before putting on your proper honorable head covering. What's the big rush? Amalei. So Rabbi Shulam Levi said, Mizuter Maidichtiv, is it a small matter, that which it says, Voidatem Livonecha, the idea of Torah education, Visomichle, Yoy Mashir Amadatol Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'chorev. And following that, it says that that's considered like you received the Torah from Mount Sinai. So that Rabbi Shulam Levi was saying, I'm involved in receiving the Torah from Mount Sinai. I'm full of haste and diligence and in a state of rushedness in order to participate in that. So of course I ran out. Mikan v'ilech, from after that incident, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba himself, lo toim unsa, he wouldn't eat the toim is to taste, or to eat a small amount. Umtza is a small roasted meat, a piece of roasted meat. This was the practice that was customary for people in the morning to eat a piece of roasted meat. But he wouldn't have his, we'll call it his breakfast. He wouldn't have it ad demakri linuka umosve, until he first went over his child's Torah study from the day before, and then teach him a new verse that morning. Rabo ba Ravuna lo toim umtsa ad demaisi lenuka lebe midrasha. In a similar vein, Rabo would not taste his morning meat until he would bring Maisius to bring his child to the base medrash, to the place where they studied Torah. Omar Rav Safra Mishum Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. My dichtiv. So Rav Safra quotes the Tana, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. The pasuk says, Veshinantom levonecha. Al tikri veshinantom, ela veshilashtom. Even though the word on the simple meaning, the literal meaning would mean veshinantom levonecha, as you teach your children Torah, nevertheless, it's understood, but Rashi points out from the fact that the Torah doesn't say Vishinisem. Vishinisem would be the simpler word form if all the Torah had in mind it was to tell me that you teach your children. But yet the word doesn't appear as Vishinisem, but rather Vishinantom. That, we'll say, unique spelling clues Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanani into this additional drosha, v'shilashtom. And what does v'shilashtom mean? Le'olam yishalish olam shnoisav. A person should calculate and divide his years, his life into three parts. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. A third of your life in the study of the scriptures, a third of your life involved in Mishnah, and a third involved in Talmud. So the Gemara asks, how can a person make such a calculation? Mi yodea kama chai? Does a person know how long he's going to live? So the Gemara answers, lo tzricha liyomi. Means throughout the course of one's life, a person should divide his days into three parts. In other words, he has a certain amount of hours during the day that he would dedicate to Torah study. And I just want to correct one thing. The pshat that we just gave was based on the Tosfos' reading of the word. Rashi, when he says lo tzrich liyomi, he says you divide your week into three parts. Tosfos says that explanation begs the same problem of, does a person know how is that he's going to live through the entire week? So Tosfos offers the pshat that we said initially, that you divide your day into three parts. And the Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos here, as well as the same idea appears in Maseches Sanhedrin, that we who don't practice this dividing our day into three parts rely on the fact that we study the Babylonian Talmud called Talmud Bavli, and the word Bavel is a description, not only a place reference, but it's also a description of the Talmud insofar as the word Bavel, meaning the word coming from the word Balul, is mixed together. It's mixed together with Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. so that the study of Talmud Bavli enables one to fulfill this this teaching of the Gemara. The Gemara, as it continues, you can see in our marked Gemaras, and by the way, if you need to access a marked Gemara, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We have a slash mark, indicating that that which follows is a new idea. In fact, Rashi says that what we are about to see is a milsabapi nafshahi, it's a separate idea. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, which reads, no say. Harishonim, the early generations, nikru soifrim. They were referred to as sofrim. The word sofrim in general is a reference to scribes or scholars. And why was that word used to describe scholars? Al shem shehoyu sofrim oisiyos tevoi subsukim shel mikra. They were capable of counting the letters, the words, and the verses of the scriptures. The idea of counting letters and words involves having a very reliable, solid tradition in how to spell each word of the Torah. And if you have a reliable tradition as to exactly how to spell each word of the Torah, as you might be aware, there are certain words that appear with, let us say, a yud in it, and sometimes that same word will appear without a yud in it. And the same applies to other letters that are sometimes present and sometimes missing. This phenomenon is known as chaseros and yeseros. Chaseros means absent, yeseros means extra or present. That is all by way of background for the next piece of Gemara. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Lefikach, nikru, rishonim, sofrim. The early scholars were termed or called by the term sofrim. Shoyu sofrim kol ha'osia shebetorah. They had the power, the capacity of counting all the letters of the Torah. Shoyu omrim, they said, vav de gachon, chetzion shel osios. The word gachon appears in the book of Leviticus and Sefer Vayikra, and they said that the vav of that word gachon, chetzion shos, means it's half of the Torah in terms of letters. Half of the letters of the Torah appear before the word gachon for the vav, and half of the letters appear after. Shel Sefer Torah. That's the. Let me read that again. Vav de gachon chetzin shel oisos shel sefer Torah. I should point out that this house marking appears on the side. It highlights the terms shel sefer Torah and later shel Tehillim, the book of Psalms. So the vav of the word gachon is half of the letters of a sefer Torah. Dorosh, dorash. That when you get to those words, also they are found in the book of Leviticus, and not surprising. Chetzion shel tevos, that represents half of the words of the Torah. V'his galach, that posuk is represents shel psukim, the halfway mark of the Torah in terms of psukim, in terms of verses. Now we continue with countings with regard to the book of Tehillim. Yikar semeno chazir miyar, ayin di ya'ar, the ayin of the word ya'ar, chetzion shel Tehillim, represents the halfway mark in terms of the letters of the book of Psalms. V'hu rachum yichapir avon, chetzio tipsukim. That's the halfway mark in terms of verses. Boi Rav Yosef, in reference to what we have just said, Rav Yosef asks, and you see we have a diamond marking. These are indicated on the side as She'elus Rav Yosef Binyan Hanal. These are Rav Yosef's questions regarding the countings that were just mentioned. So Rav Yosef asks, Vav de Gachoin. The Gemara said just a moment before that the vav of the word gachon was half of the letters. And you'll see Rav Yosef's question repeats itself stylistically, and that's why you have now a double underline, mehai gisa o mehai gisa. Is the vav part of the first half of the letters, or is it part of the second half of the letters? That was Rav Yosef's question. Omru lo, so they said to him, Nasi Sefer Torah v'im ninu, bring a Sefer Torah and we'll count them. Milo Omar Rabba Barachana lo zazu misham ad sheviu Sefer Torah umanum. Wasn't it stated by Rabba Barachana that they didn't count, they, is a reference to an earlier generation, that they didn't move from there until they counted that which needed to be counted in the Sefer Torah. So there's a precedent for taking a Sefer Torah and counting what needs to be counted. Rashi points out that this reference of they did not move from there until they counted is not stated where that actually happened. So we're referring to it as an event that took place generations before that Rabba Bar Chana tells us of. So this was the suggestion that was made to Rav Yosef. If you're asking your question about the Vav, is it part of the first half or the second half? Let's just take out a Sefer Torah and do the counting. Oh, Marley. So Rav Yosef says, I'm sorry, I can't rely on that suggestion. Inu b'ki b'chaseros v'yaseros. They, those earlier generations, were expert in what we mentioned before. Those words that are sometimes spelled with a vav, sometimes spelled without a vav, sometimes with a yud, without a yud. So they had the ability to make an exact counting and come out with a reliable conclusion. Anan lo b'ke'inon. We are not expert. So that we might have words in our Sefer Torah, and here we're not dealing with any change in meaning of the word, but in terms of the spelling of the word, there might be a yud when the original tradition was without a yud, or vice versa. Boy, Rav Yosef, v'hisgalach. We mentioned before that v'hisgalach represented the halfway mark of the psukim. Mehai giso, mehai giso. Is it part of the first half of the psukim? Does that represent the end of the first half of the psukim, or does the pasuk v'hisgalach refer to the beginning of the second half of psukim? Of course, the word v'hisgalach is just the first word of that particular pasuk. And here we're asking, Rav Yosef is asking a question very similar to what he asked before. Omer le Abaye. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, psuke miha lesu limnuyi. Why not, at least regarding psukim, granted that you say we don't have a firm, solid tradition regarding the chaseros and yeseros, that's a letter consideration, but as far as verses are concerned, do we not have a reliable a way of counting psukim? So Rav Yosef says, but psuki nami lo b'ki'inon, regarding the breakdown or of psukim, I'm sure everyone knows that when you open up a Torah scroll, not only is there no vowelization, but there's also no psukim breakdown, verse breakdown. This is all based on an oral tradition. So Abaye is saying to Rav Yosef, do we not have a solid oral tradition on how to break down the Torah text in terms of individual verses? So he answers, Rav Yosef says, psukinami lo b'kinon, even regarding psukim, we don't have a totally reliable tradition. And he illustrates this. Dechi also Rav Acho bar Ado Omar, when Rav Acho came, he said, Bema'arova in Eretz Yisrael, paski lei, lahai kro l'tlosa psuki. We have a pasuk. The Gemara does not quote the entire pasuk. We've included it on the bottom margin of our Shas Ozer, the marked Gemaras that you are hopefully viewing right now. So if you look there at the bottom, you have Shmos, Perek, Yutes, Pasuk, Tes. And the pasuk that the Gemara intends to quote reads as follows. So first we're going to read the pasuk at the bottom. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hinei anochi bo elecho ba'av ha'anon, v'avur yishma ha'om v'dabri yimoch, v'gam b'cho yaminu lo'olam, v'yageid Moshe es divrei ha'om el Hashem. That's one pasuk in when you open up our standard Chumashim. And Rav Acha reports that in Eretz Yisrael, this pasuk that we just read, they break it down into three separate verses. So let's read that again. B'marava paski lei lahai kro l'tlosa psuki. In Eretz Yisrael, they break down the pasuk that we just read into three separate psukim. Which pasuk? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hinei anochi bo elecho ba'av ha'anon. And what I wanted to emphasize is that it's not the words the words that the Torah in the Gemara text quotes are broken down into three words. The Gemara quotes only part of the pasuk. The entire pasuk is that which we read at the bottom, and they would take that pasuk and break it into three separate psukim. Tonu, and as a result of that, Rav Yosef says, look, you see that if you're going to rely on the way we break down the psukim, it's not necessarily the authentic, original breakdown of the psukim. It could very well be that the Eretz Yisrael breakdown would have been more accurate. So in terms of counting, we can't arrive at some type of definitive conclusion that would warrant our going out and counting the psukim. Tonu Rabbonan, Chameshes Alofim Ushmoinim Meis Ushmoinim Ushmoinim Psukim Havu Psuki Sefer Torah. The number of psukim that this Tanaic source says is 5,888 psukim, are the number of psukim in a Sefer Torah. I just want to point out, and there's a starred note on the side that points out that when you open up our Chumashim and count up the number of psukim, you're going to come out with a different number, not 5,888, but rather 5,845. It just goes to show that the tradition and how to break down the psukim is not something that we have, say, a solid, reliable tradition on. So that, I want to emphasize, though, that this issue of counting the psukim doesn't necessarily have any influence on the understanding of the Torah and the way to mekayem mitzvahs, to fulfill mitzvahs. So that as far as that aspect of tradition is concerned, we're not necessarily raising any doubts about that. The Gemara continues, Yeser Olav Tehillim Shmoina. Tehillim has, according to this Tanaic source, eight more psukim than the Torah. Choser Mimenu Divrei Hayomim Shmoina. The book of Divrei Hayomim, there's another Girsa, the Gra has Doniel, but whatever, it's a reference to another book of the Tanakh, has eight less psukim than the Torah. Tonu Rabbonan, Vishinantam, quoting, of course, the pasuk that we alluded to before, Vishinantam Levonecha, the word shinun has to do with sharpness. Rashi adds, though, yuch mechudodim beficha, Rashi, three lines from the end of Rashi commentary, chazor alehem uvdok ba'omkon. I believe Rashi is mentioning two points, review and depth. And that means you review your Torah study and pursue it in depth. That if a person comes with a query regarding a Torah matter, lo titzdorich ligamgem, you won't have to hesitate. Elo shetucha lomar miad. As a result of review and in-depth study, you will be able to answer his question immediately. So that here the source says, divrei Torah mechudada beficha, the Torah words should be literally sharp in your mouth. Shim yishal lucha odom dovar, if someone were to ask you something, al tegam game v'tomar lo, don't hesitate in responding, elo emor lo miad, rather respond to him immediately. Shinemar, and this is illustrated by the following pasuk. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, emor lechochma achosiat. Umoda, the pasuk goes on to say, Umoda labina tikra. And this Tanaic source goes on with a list of psukim, who the spirit of all of them is this idea of having full control over your Torah knowledge and it being part of you, being sharp and ready for immediate response. Before we go on with the list of psukim, we glance at the Rashi at the top line, Emor lechochma chosiat. How do you see from this pasuk the idea of being in full control of your Torah's knowledge, with a full clarity? So, Rashi says, number one, Shetei boki ba, you should be expert in all of your Torah knowledge, ke'achos chosha surlach, just like it's clear to you that one is prohibited to cohabit with his sister. That's a well-known prohibition. So too, just like that is well-known, so too all the rest of the Torah should be well-known. So according to this Pshat and Rashi, he focuses on the first part of the Pasuk that we see quoted in the text of the Gemara, associating Chochmah, knowledge, with Achosi, with sister. Inami, Rashi continues, Misefa Dekra. The emphasis is really on the continuation of the Pasuk, that which we wrote in above the line. What does the continuation say? Umoda Labina Tikra. Shite Yedua Loch. The word moda, the word das, knowledgeable, bina, understanding should be, you should have clear, well-known understanding of that which you study. We continue in the Gemara, v'oimer, and it also says, in another pasuk from Mishle, it says, koshreim al etzbo isecha, kosveim aluach libecha. Literally, tie them to your fingers and have them written on the tablet of your heart. These are psukim that refer to Torah study. They should be internalized and part of you. V'yomer kechitzim biyad gibor kein b'nei hanu'urim. Rashi adds on the top, kechitzim biyad gibor shenilcham bohem im oivov. A person uses arrows, chitzim or arrows, in the hands of the warrior. He uses the arrows in his warfare. Kain b'nei hanu'urim, Rashi says, Talmidov shel Adam, the students of a person, kriim hakriim bonov, are considered, or are referred to in the scripture as one's sons, one's children. Kemo she'omar ichskio, bonai arto al tishalu, v'yomer hine anochi v'ayolodim asher nosan li. These are psukim that illustrate that the term bonai, or children, or is a term that's interchangeable with students. So the Gemara continues, the omer, chitzei, gibor, shnunim. The arrows of the warrior are sharp. And the omer, chitzecho, shnunim, amim, tachtecho, yiplu. With sharp arrows, you will conquer many nations. V'yomer ashrei hagever asher mile es hashposo mehem lo yevoshu ki yedabru es oivim bashoar. Fortunate is the warrior whose quiver is filled with arrows, and he will have no embarrassment, and he will control, he will defeat his enemies at the gate. My es oivim bashar. What's the reference to the enemies at the gate? Omer Reb Chiya bar Abba, afilu ho'avuvno ho'aravu talmido. We speak about enemies. Bear in mind, we're dealing here all in the context of Torah learning. And the all the reference above to the arrows, a reference to sharpness, a reference to having students, a reference to being involved with Torah learning, even a father and his son. A teacher and his student, she'oiskim b'Torah b'shar echad, who study Torah together within the same gates, nasim oivim zeh. While engaged in Torah study, there's usually intense questioning of what each one says, so that there's a certain tenseness and intensity that's involved in Torah study, that would give you the impression that they are enemies warring with one another, all in pursuit of the truth. The Einam Zaza Misham, and they don't leave their position, Ad Shinasim Oavim Ze Ezeh, until at the end of their Torah study session, they love one another. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, Es Vohev Besufa. The quote here from Bamidbar Perek Chafal of Pasuk Yudalev is found in a more complete fashion on the side of our Gemara, where we've written in the Pasuk. So let's read from the margin what we have. Al Kain Ye Omar B'Sefer Milchamas Hashem Es Foyev B'Sufa V'Es HaNecholim Arnon. The Gemara, in reading this pasuk, es vohev besufa, al tikri besufa ela besofa. Don't read the word as sufa, but rather sofa, at the end. And es vohev resembles the word ohavim, or ahava, love. There is love at the end. But Rashi adds another aspect of it, and it's for this reason we read the entire pasuk. Let's look at Rashi together on the fourth line from the top. Esway basufa hachi dorish la. Thusly, the Gemara understands the pasuk. Sefer milchamas. Now, that was in the pasuk that was not quoted in the Gemara text, but we read it on the side. Milchama shayadei sefer, a war concerning the book, the sefer, the scroll, the book, the Torah. Ahava yesh basofa. There is love at the end. So that while engaged in Torah study, there appears, as we mentioned, this intensity, intenseness, and warring aspect. And at the end, there is love. Continuing in the Gemara, and before we do that, we glance at the side. We have a nosei topic heading: HaTorah Kisam Neged Yetzirah. The Torah is the antidote, the medicine against the evil inclination. The Almighty created a world. He created humanity. And part of the human experience is contending with the Yetzer Hara, sometimes referred to as the Satan. And what tools did the Almighty provide for man in order to war against the Satan? He provided the antidote in the form of Torah study. So now we continue with the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, V'samtem. Samtam. And the word v'samtem is broken down into two words. The word samtem, v'samtem es devorai eila al levavchem ve'al nafshechem. The word v'samtem is spelled with a sin, a shin, as with a dot on the left-hand side, called shin smalit. The pronunciation, though, is similar to a samach, so that you can interchange them, and hence the word v'samtem is broken down into sam as a medicine, tam, a complete healthful remedy, a remedy without any negative side effects, which is very unusual in the realm of medicines, that a medicine is totally wholesome. But that is the Torah. Nimshel Torah kesam chayim. The Torah is compared to an elixir of life. Moshel li'adam shehika es beno maka gedoila. The analogy to a man who hit his son with intense impact, v'niach lo riti al makoso, and then placed a bandage, a medicinal bandage, on the injury, v'omer lo, and he told the son, b'ni, kol zman shiriti azu al makoscha, as long as this bandage is on your injury, echol mashanoscha, v'shtei mashanoscha, eat whatever you please, you can drink whatever you please, and you can bathe, bain b'chamin, bain b'tzonein, v'hein atom isyore, you can bathe whether in hot or in warm water, in cold water, and you have no fear. In other words, true, there is an injury. However, the bandage that's upon you, the medicinal bandage upon you, will protect you from all kinds of things, even things that could be injurious. Rashi makes that point when describing eat whatever you please. Even sweets, like even honey and other sweets that ordinarily are injurious to, are certainly not beneficial for someone suffering from an injury, from a maka. But with this bandage on, you will be protected. Vimato mavira harehi malinumin. If you remove the bandage, so then you will suffer Rashi uses a French word for this, ptsaim, bruises and other maladies that result from an injury without the necessary protection. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omar Lehem Yisrael. Thusly, the Almighty said to the Jewish people, B'ni Barosi Yetzahara Barosi Lo Torah Tavlin. I have created the Yetzahara, and he certainly is the equivalent of the injury, but there is the medicine, the antidote. V'im Atem Oiskim B'Torah Ein Atem Nimsar B'Yadah. If you pursue, engage in the study of Torah, you will not be given over into his clutches. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Halo Im Teitiv Se'es. If you choose the right way, teitiv, like word tov, you choose the right path. The pasuk elsewhere says regarding the Torah, ki lekach tov nosati lochem. It's a wonderful acquisition. So if you follow the tov, the good, the Torah, then you will rule over your yetzer. You will rule over your evil inclination. V'im ein atem oiskim b'Torah, and if you don't pursue the study of Torah, atem nimsorim b'yodo, then you will be given over into his clutches. Shenema lepesach chatos rovetz. The word chatos has to do with sin, which is inspired by the yetzer hara. Not only that, but you should realize that all of the Yetzer's preoccupation is concerning you. Shenemar, the same pasuk says, "Ve'ilecha tshukaso." Its desire is to defeat you. V'imato roitze, and if you should so desire, ato moishel bo, you can rule over him. Shenemar va'ato timshol boi. You'll notice on the side of the Gemara, in order to appreciate the pasuk in its entirety, so we've included it, Breishis Perek Dalet Pasuk Zayin, which reads, Halo im teitiv seis, vimlo teitiv, la pesach atos roveitz, veilecho tshukoso v'ata timshol bo. Let us glance at the side before continuing in the Gemara. We have a topic heading, the Nosei. Yetzer hara, kama koshehu. The Gemara describes the intense challenge regarding dealing with the evil inclination, how tough he is. Now the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan, koshe yetzer hara. The yetzer hara is tough, is difficult. Shafilu yotzro kar oi ra. Even the Creator himself referred to it, the evil inclination, as bad or as evil. Shenamar ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra minurav. The inclination of a person is wicked from his youth. Omar Rav Yitzchak, yetzer shel adam mischadesh olav b'chol yoim. We've highlighted the key words in the drushes of Rav Yitzchak and following him, Rav Shimon ben Levi, or another girsa, Rav Shimon ben Lakish. You'll see another dashed underlining there, the word misgaber. So Rav Yitzchak tells us that the yetzer hara mischadesh olav b'chol yom. He is renewed, he appears anew every day. Shenema rakra kol hayom. Every day, again, a challenge posed by the evil inclination. This is something that many have experienced. They can have a day of, we'll say, spiritual advancement, a sense of spirituality, and a religious high, a day of successful prayer, a day of successful Torah learning, and you go to sleep and you feel, oh, what a wonderful day, what a successful day. You wake up the next morning and all of a sudden the blahs. All of a sudden, how can I get out of bed? Let me stay under the blankets. I don't have any desire to pray. I don't have any desire to learn. If that happens, one should understand they're not imagining things. They're not hallucinating. This is part of the daily challenge of man, and more specifically, the Jew. He has to deal with the yetzer hara, that's mischadesh olav kol yom. He is renewed every day. So that even if you're successful in defeating him one day, as we saw before, v'atotim sholbo, you'll rule over him on one day, there's no guarantee that the next day will be the same. V'yomar Reb Shimon ben Levi, or as we said, other girsos have Reb Shimon ben Lakish, yitzrei shalodem misgaber olav b'chol yom, u'mevakish hamiso. It seems that his choice of word mezgaber means that not only does he renew himself every day, but he appears with additional energy every day, and his goal is to see the death of the individual. Shenemar tsoyfe rosha latzadik umevakesh lamiso. The rosha, the evil, gazes upon the righteous. The evil is a reference here to the yetzer hara, and his desire is to kill him. And if not for the assistance that Almighty provides man, ein yocholo, a man with his own intention, without any heavenly intervention, would not be successful. Shenemar elokim lo yazvenu biyado. The Almighty does not abandon the tzaddik into the hands of the yetzer hara. Tano debe Rabbi Shmuel beni. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, the following teaching appears. If, and he addresses us, Bini, my son, if this disgusting one meets up with you. The disgusting menuval is a reference to the Yetzirah, the evil inclination. Moshcheu lebeis hamedrash, draw him into the Torah study hall. Im evan hu, if he is a stone, your Torah study nimuach will cause it to melt. Vim barzel hu, and if he is like iron, mitpotzeitz, it will explode. Those are the effects of Torah study on the evil inclination, whether it appears as iron or appears as stone. And now we quote a pasuk, and you'll notice the lettering that we have of im evan was an aleph, im barzel beis, and now we quote a pasuk. We note beis. This is addressing the description of the evil inclination as barzel shenemar halo kol devorai keish hashem nu mashem. Halo ko dvorai ke'esh nu mashem uchafatish yifotzei tzela. That posuk, the patish, is a hammer which is usually made of metal. So the description of the Torah in this posuk says ko dvorai ke'esh. My Torah is like fire that can result in the exploding of the iron. Im evan hu nimuach shenemar ho kol tzami l'chu l'mayim v'yomer avonim shochaku mayim. The description of the stone being eroded or melted away by Torah is found in combining these two psukim. Posuk hoy kol tzami, all you who are thirsty, go to the water. The water is Torah. Torah is referred to in many places as water. And water's effect on stone is in the subsequent pasuk avonim shachaku mayim, that means stones are eroded by water. We mentioned the obligations of a father toward his son lahasio isha. This marking scheme was introduced a few dapim before, and on the side we have the nosei / mivne heading. We're continuing with the numbering, so you can see here we have number 4 and 4 through 6 on the side. We've written Hashlomas Rishima Shalvarm Shoav Chayev Livno. We continue and complete the list of mitzvahs with the Gemara analysis of those things that a father is obligated to provide his son. So we continue with number 4 is marrying his son off to a woman. Minolon, from where do we know that a father's obligation is to find a wife for his son? Dichtiv k'chu noshim v'holidu bonim uvanos u'k'chu livnechem noshim v'esbenosechem tenu la'noshim. Now, the Gemara, the pasuk indicates a person should get married and have children, and the children that he has, the father should find women, wives for your sons, and find husbands for your daughters. The Gemara analyzes Bishlamo bino biyodo. I understand that a father has the ability to go and seek a wife for his son. Now we've noted on the side a reference to Rashi in Maseches Ksubos Daf Nun Beis Omid Beis, where this idea of a father has the power concerning finding a wife for his son, because it's the norm for a man to seek out a wife. In this case, the father is the man seeking out a wife for his son. That's as far as Bishlamo bino biyodo. The Gemara continues, Ela bito biyodo hi? With regard to a daughter, is it in the father's hands to get a husband for his daughter? And Rashi there in Ksubas continues with the same theme, and it is it the way of a woman to seek out the man? Here in this case, the father of the girl, he represents the girl. Is that the norm, that the girl or her representative goes to find a man? That's not the norm. The norm is a man seeks out, man meaning the son, or if his father represents him, it's a father representing the son. It's the style, it's the norm for him to seek out a wife. We've seen earlier in our Masechta the analogy of a man and a woman to a person who owned an item that got lost. Who seeks out whom? The owner of the item seeks out the lost item. And the analogy being that when Adam HaRishon was created, so a part of his body was taken away from him to form the woman. He, man, the male, seeks out that which was lost, that was taken from him, i.e. the woman. So what does the pasuk mean when it says, regarding your daughters, find husbands for them? Hachi ka'omar luhu. Thusly, the pasuk is saying, Nitan lo midi v'lavshe v'nichse. Provide for your daughter. Just once before we continue with the translation, just point out that the point is not that the father is going to actively go look for a husband for his daughter, but rather the father shall provide for his daughter sufficient wealth, sufficient goods to make her desirable, make her attractive to men that should want to marry a woman that will bring into the marriage a considerable amount of wealth. So that's what we are reading now. Nitain lo midi v'lavshe v'nichse. Provide for her things, clothing that she can wear and cover herself with. Kihechi de kofsu ala inchi, so that people will, figuratively speaking, jump upon her. A father should provide enough dowry for his daughter to make her a sought out mate for some man. So that's the idea of a father seeking out a husband for his daughter, make her desirable and attractive in this sense. That's what a father can do. Lelamdo umanis. Another obligation is for a father to train his son in a craft. Minolan, from where do we know that? Omar Chizkiyo Damakro, Re Chaim im Isha Asher Ahavta. The word Chaim literally means life. In order to experience life, so one needs to have an umanus, a craft. Expand that to mean a means of income. We're going to focus on that in a few lines from now. But the pasuk itself says, makes reference to a craft, im isha asher hafta, and it's juxtaposed with the reference to an isha. What is isha in this pasuk? So here we have two possibilities, and either way you interpret the word isha, we will eventually conclude that it's a father's obligation to provide umanis for his son. What does isha mean in this pasuk? Im isha mamesh hi, if it's a reference to literally a woman. And the pasuk is saying, "Re'e chayim im isha, have life together with a wife." So, if it's a reference to literally a woman, so we say, "Kishem shechayim masiyo isha," just like a father is obligated to marry a woman to his son, that we proved just before. Kach chayev lelam doyumenis. So, by the same token, the father is obligated to teach his son a craft. Now, the word isha might mean something else. Im Torah hi, if the word reference to isha is a reference to Torah study, the same conclusion will be reached, though. Kishem shechayev lelamdo Torah, just like a father is obligated to teach his son Torah, in this pasuk it's referred to as isha, kachayev lelamdo umnes, so too, the father is obligated to provide his son with a craft. V'yesh oimrim af lahashitoi benohar. Some add that a father's obligation is to instruct his son in swimming. My taimo, why? Chiyusehi. That also is a life-preserving art. The art of swimming. The ability to swim. So that it could very well be that this is a takeoff on the pasuk we just read four lines above. Re'e chayim emisha. Chayim was a reference to craft. And here we're saying that swimming is also an element of chayim, of preservation of life. If one finds himself on the water in a boat and it capsizes, he will need to swim in order to preserve his chayim, his life. Rabbi Omer, kol she'eno malamdoi umenus, malamdoi listus. the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, any father that does not teach his son a craft is teaching him thievery. Listu salka daitoch, and we explained this in our previous year. If the father is not teaching him a craft, he's not teaching him anything. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say if he's not teaching a craft, he is teaching him thievery? He's not teaching him thievery. He's teaching him nothing. Elo ki'ilu malamdo listus. By not teaching him a craft, true, you the father are not doing anything, but the inevitable result is that the son, who has no legitimate means of income, will engage in thievery. So your passive, non-involvement with your son will lead to him pursuing a life of listus. My binayu, what is the difference, or... Rashi adds, what does Rav Yehuda add that the Tanakhama didn't already say? Rav Yehuda says, if you don't teach your son Uminus, well, the Tanakhama also, the first opinion also said, a father is obligated to provide Uminus, an education of a craft for his son. What does Rav Yehuda add? Iko binayu, the point of difference between them would be the agmere iska. A father doesn't educate his son in a specific craft, but he teaches his son how to conduct commerce, business. Iska, Rashi says, in limdoi schira, if a father teaches his son in how to buy and sell merchandise. Schora, that has to do with merchandising, commerce. The Tanakama hare limdo chayim, according to the Tanakama, that's sufficient. That's also providing a means of livelihood. Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi continues, the Osi Lataimo, Rabbi Yehuda, who comes with additional explanation in his teaching, he says, Umnes Dafka, you have to teach your son specifically a craft. A person can find himself often without any access to merchandise in order to profit, and without a craft. A craft, I would assume we're talking about a craft that everyone requires, a necessary high demand craft that's in public demand, so that even if you don't have merchandise with which to profit, you nevertheless have a craft that that will always be in demand. So you'll always have a means of livelihood, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda is. He's taking the more conservative approach, that it's not sufficient to teach him the ways of business, but he should have a craft. Now, it could be, but I don't have a final conclusion on this. Rashi himself says, Rabbi Yehuda d'osi l'taima umnes dafka. Specifically, that's what a father is obligated, teaching him a craft. Does that mean that that when he says a craft means that is that in addition to teaching him business? Because Rashi before, in presenting the Gemara's question, what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to add? So you could say that he's coming to add that in addition to teaching him business, that would not be enough. You have to also equip him with a craft. Or is Rabbi Yehuda saying that it's sufficient, even if a father doesn't teach his son the ways of business, teaching him a craft would be sufficient? That's something that each one of you can pursue and discuss further. Let's continue in the Gemara. Kol mitzvus ho'av al haben. The Mishnah went on to say, Echor anoshim ve'echor noshim chayoven. This category called mitzvus ho'av al haben, whether it be women, or whether it be men or women, they are all obligated. Males and females are obligated. My kol mitzvah so'av ala ben, what is meant by that phrase? In lemo kol mitzvoso de mechayev abo lemevad lebrei, all those things that a father is obligated to do for his son, would the Mishnah have ruled noshim chayovos, that women, mothers, are obligated? V'atanya. But we've already learned ho'av chayov bivno lomulo v'liftoso. A father is obligated to circumcise and redeem his son, oviv in imo lo. Father yes, mother not. So the phrase of the Mishnah called mitzvah so'av al haben could not possibly mean those things that a father is obligated to do for his son. Otherwise, the Mishnah, if that's what it was, the Mishnah would not have included the women folk as being obligated. Omer of Yehuda, hochi ko'omar. So the Rav Yehuda clarifies what the Mishnah means here. Kol mitzvah so'av hamutelas al haben. And when the Mishnah said al, the mitzvah so'av al haben, that means upon the son is the obligation. All those mitzvahs that concern a father, concern a parent, that are obligatory upon the son, that a son must fulfill, hamutelas al haben la'asois la'aviv, that are obligatory upon a son to do for his father, echad anoshim ve'echad noshim chayavim. Whether it be a son or a daughter, males and females, all children are obligated regarding these things that one is obligated to do for a parent. Tanina laha de Tana Rabbanan. Our Mishnah supports that which is found in the following brisa. I should point out parenthetically, you find this expression often in the Shas. Tanina laha de Tana Rabbanan. Brisas, Tanaic literature, outside the Mishnayos, are not always, we'll say, totally reliable, totally accurate. So from time to time, you see the Gemara confirming a brisa by saying, here you have a brisa that has its basis, that is substantiated by the Mishnah. Hence, you see, Tanina Laha de Tana Rabbanan, we have in a brisa, and we have in our Mishnah that which you see in this brisa. Hence, we have a reliable brisa. The pasuk, brisa opens up with a pasuk, but it's a one-word quote. It says ish. It's a reference to the pasuk that says ish imo v'aviv tiro. So ish, ein li ela ish. I would know that only a man is obligated in fearing his parents. Isha minayin. Where do I see in this pasuk the inclusion of a woman, of a daughter? Kishuomer tiro. When the pasuk goes on to say tiro, as we said, ish aviv v'imo, his mother and father, tiro, they shall fear. What's the plural doing over there? If the pasuk opened up with the word ish, how do you explain tiro? So you see a plural. Hare kan shnayim. There's two that are addressed. And that includes the daughter as well. Ish and isha. The man and woman, meaning the boy and girl. Im ken ma tamu lomar ish. So why does the pasuk open up with the word ish, giving you the impression that only a son is obligated? The brisa answers, ish sipek biyado lasos. A son is always capable of fulfilling the mitzvah of honoring one's parents. No one is going to protest a son, even if he's married. The wife cannot protest his attempt to fulfill kibud avim. Isha, a woman, on the other hand, ain sipek biyado lasos, and they should reshus achir moleot. A woman is not always in control, having the power to fulfill the mitzvah of honoring one's parents, because she could be under the control, under the rule of others, namely her husband. That when a woman gets married, her obligation is to fulfill the husband's requirements, or her husband's instructions, and at times that could clash with, let's say, her attempt to provide for her parents. So her first obligation as a married woman is to provide for her husband. So the husband could, we'll say, overrule in the case of a wife's desire to honor her parents, where it comes to clashing with his desires, so she doesn't have full control. So the pasuk, when it spoke about he who shall fear and honor his parents, spoke about the case where it will always be able to be fulfilled. Omar of Idi Bar Oven, Omar Rav Nisgarsha, a married woman who became divorced. So Shnehem Shavim, the two are equal in terms of their obligation regarding honoring parents. She's not under her husband's control anymore. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we continue with this Tanaic source, we have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, and we've written Gimel Nekudos, 3 points. Shebohen, Hishva Kosuv Bein Hachoyve Sheish Lanu Klape Malo Uklape Horim. 3 points in which you find a similarity between our obligations toward the Almighty as well as toward our parents. So if you allow your eye to skim ahead momentarily, you'll notice a diagonal dashed underlining highlighting the phrase Hishva HaKosuv. The verse compares. Hishva literally means equal to. The verses make equal honoring of parents to the honoring of the Almighty. The source in the Gemara reads Tonu Rabbanon Ne'emar Kabeid Es Avicha Ves Imecha. The pasuk in the Ten Commandments says, "You shall kabeid, you shall respect, honor your mother and father, your father and mother." V'ne'emar kabeid es Hashem ehoncha. You see the same word used in honoring the Almighty, that you shall honor the Almighty from with your wealth. Hishva hakosuv kibud avim lekovan amokim. So that regarding the act of kavod. The pasuk compares the two. The compares parents to the Ribbono Shalom. Ne'emar ish imov aviv tiro. The concept of yirah, of fear and awe, applies to parents. The ne'emar ish es Hashem elokecha tiro the osoi tavod. So regarding this aspect of behavior, yirah, you see also by the Ribbono Shalom. Hishva kosev muras av ve'em lemuras hamakom. The Torah puts on the same level, the same plane, fearing of parents to fear of the Almighty. The ne'emar mekalel ovavimo moshimos. There is a capital punishment imposed on someone who curses his parents. The ne'emar ish ki yekalel elikov v'nosa chetoi. Hishva kosov birkas av ve'im the birkas hamokim. The word birka brocha is a euphemism. It means a curse. So the Torah compares the approach to parents with the approach to the Almighty regarding this phenomenon. There's another prohibition in the Torah regarding parents that cannot be parallel to the Almighty. Avol b'hakka, the pasuk punishes with a capital punishment one who hits his parents, one who imposes an injury in either of his parents. So vaday e efshar. In that hakka, you can't present a parallel. The Almighty is not someone that is included in the possibility of hitting him. Hitting is something that applies only to that which has, a physical presence, which doesn't apply when speaking of the Ribbono Shalom. V'chein bedin, and also it's bedin. It's only reasonable that they should be compared. Parents with Almighty sheshloshdan shutfin bo. The three are partners in the creation of a person, of a human being, of a child. So a child is born, three are partners in him, so being that they're all partners, they can be equated. Tanu Rabbanan, Shloisha Shutfin Hein Bodom. There are three partners in the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Oviv, V'Imo. The Gemara in Nida, and Rashi makes an allusion to that. What does each one contribute to the creation of a person? That's something, as I say, you can look in Rashi and look in the Gemara there, but for our purposes, the three are partners in the creation of a person. Bizman she'odem mechabed es aviv ve'es imo, when a person honors his mother, his father and mother. Omar koshbochum mani ani aleim kilu darti beinayim v'chibduni. I consider it as if I've dwelt amongst them and they have honored me. So that in a person who's dedicated to honoring his parents, the Almighty
credits such an individual as if he's honored me.
Tanya. And before we go further, we glance at the side. We have an osay topic heading. Hesper Shinui Seder Ksivas Av Eim B'Psukim Shel Kibud Umura. There are two psukim, and we made reference to them in the source above. If you just go back in your Gemara text, about 6-7 lines up, with a Tanaic source, Tana Rabbanan Nemar Kabeid, looking at that pasuk, Kabeid Es Avicha V'Simecha. The Torah is exhorting an individual to honor his father, and stated after father is mother. The next pasuk cited regarding parents, you'll notice toward the end of that line there was a base that's encircled. Nemar says ish, a person is imo the aviv tiro. Person is a request is exhorted to fear, but notice the parents, the order, first mother, and then father. The Gemara here deals with the change in that order. When it comes to respect, kabod, and the Gemara will ask what is meant by kavod. You'll see later in the Gemara this has to do with proactive behavior on the part of the child, providing for his parents. Yira is the we'll say passive, or avoiding the negative. Now the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Galui v'yadua lefnei misha omar v'hoya olam. It's clear to the one that said the world shall be, which is a nice way of referring to the Almighty. It's clear to the Almighty, sheben mechabed es imo yoser mi aviv. The tendency of a child is to mechabed. Mechabed, you can translate it as honor or respect, but it's more than just an emotional relationship. It has to do with physically providing for, that a person will have a greater tendency to want to provide in a proactive form for his mother more than his father. So when it comes to kavod, you have the natural tendency. And why is that? Mipnei, we continue at the top of the Daf Lamed Aleph, shemishadlosoi bidvorim. Mishadlosu bidvorim, Rashi says mefatoso. Mefate in other contexts has to do with seducing, but she sways him with words. She coddles him. She speaks nicely to him. She is a mother will tend to, in more common terms, will have a greater tendency to try to spoil her child. That's of course a very cultural aspect of looking at things, but nevertheless, it's the way of women to coddle her children more so than a father. So the natural tendency is for a son to mechabe, to make provisions for his mother more so than the father, as a reaction to her mishadlosei bedvarim. Lefikach, so serve as a counterbalance to the natural tendency, hikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibud av lekibud eim, to create the proper balance. So in the pasuk, when it comes to the verse, so emphasis is placed on providing kavod to the father as well as to the mother. As far as the mother is concerned, the child will on a natural basis probably do it anyway. So the Torah has to compensate for that, and hence placed father first in that pasuk. And to the contrary, or in contrast, the Golui v'yadua lefnei misha omar v'hoya olam, it is clear to the one that said the world shall be, it's clear to the Almighty, shaben misyore me'oviv yoser me'imo. And then when it comes to fear, the natural tendency is to fear the father more than the mother. And what's the basis of this? Yira, interestingly enough, m'neshemalamdoi Torah. The father is obligated to teach his son Torah. And there is a relationship between the Torah education that a father provides for his son that creates this sense of
of Yirah. If Yirah is translated as fear, maybe that's not the best translation. Maybe it has to do with a sense of awe. And the one who teaches you Torah engenders in the student a sense of awe toward his instructor. So there's an automatic feeling of awe, of fear, that is present in a child as a result of his father teaching him Torah. So in order to compensate for that, lefikach hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu moira ha'aim lemoira. Therefore, in the pasuk that we cited earlier, ish imo v'aviv tiro, the mother is placed first. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.